Resident Evil 2 is a game full of zombies, monsters, giants, lightning, thunder, dogs, helicopters, guns, rocket launchers, and grenades. But once all was said and done, all I could think about was this game's map. This is my review of Resident Evil 2 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. I'm playing on the PS4 Pro and completed the story with Leon and got about halfway through Claire's campaign. Resident Evil 2 is a fantastic game, and it's a horror experience that I expect will stick with me for a long time. Few games have made me feel this much dread, and few games have kept me thinking about them constantly when I'm not playing them. I want you to know that up front, because of the thing that I'm going to talk about right now is what makes this game for me, and it sounds silly, but it's really, really important. The map in Resident Evil 2 is great. Let's talk about it. So, first, it's very legible and the game is generous at showing you large swaths of unexplored areas so you know where to head next. I always felt like I knew where I was in the world, and if I was ever lost, I was able to flip open the map for just a second or two, get my bearings, and decide what path I wanted to take. I closed the map and go where I wanted. I didn't feel like I was just popping it open and closed, like trying to get my bearings all the time. The world design itself helps with this by letting you know where you are in the police station, where you are in the other environments, in a very, very effective way, so that when you go to the map, it's just a refresher. It's just, oh yeah, that's over here to the right, or this is up two doors and then I go left. Like, that's it, and you can kind of use the world to guide you. You can use the map to get around very effectively. This should be table stakes, but not every game gets this right, and Resident Evil 2 nails it. Second, the map shows you rooms in three different colors. Rooms can be black, red, or blue. Black rooms are rooms where you've not gone to yet. Red rooms are rooms that you have been to, but still have something you need to do. And blue rooms is where you've done everything you can possibly do in that room. That last one is the kicker here. See, in a game like Resident Evil, where there's tons of obtuse puzzles to solve and items to collect, you can easily get into a place where you start going through every single room over and over and over again, trying to find what you missed. I've quit games before because they get me into the situation, and I just get tired of running around and trying to find some stupid item that I need and can't find. By letting me know where I've been and I've gotten everything that I need, that helps me narrow down what rooms I need to consider of interest moving forward. Once a room turns blue, it's effectively not important to me anymore. Maybe I left some zombies there, maybe it's gonna be a room I go through trying to get to another room sometime, but like, effectively from a mental state, I can forget about that room. I don't have to check anything off a list there. I know that it's already done. This is a huge time and frustration saver for me. And finally, third, the map does this unbelievably useful thing of putting items, doors, and windows on your map so that you remember where these things are. It doesn't put these things on there until you interact with them or could have conceivably seen them, so it's not too easy, but it saves you time from having to remember or like write down in a notebook, hey, there was a potion that I left in this room. Hey, there was a key card that I left on this table in the office. This is stuff that you just forget, but Resident Evil lets you know that. Like, if you leave, like, handgun ammo, for example. This is something that happened to me a few times. I didn't have inventory space. There was handgun ammo. I wanted to pick it up, but I didn't have space to pick it up. When I ran out of ammo later or was super low and wanted to kind of stock up, I was able to go back to that spot because it was on the map and I knew there was some ammo there. Maybe it was 2 bullets, maybe it was 20, but it was some ammo and I knew that I could go there to get what I needed. It just all comes together and clicked for me in a way that no video game map ever has, maybe? That might be too grandiose a statement, but I can't recall a map that I felt this strongly about after ending the experience. And this great user interface continues throughout other elements of the game. Your inventory, for example, will automatically mark items with a red checkmark when you're done using them, when you've done everything that can be done with that item. Have a key that opens two doors, when you open the second door, it'll get a check mark, and you can feel free dropping it and just never seeing it again. Since the puzzles are pretty odd at times in this game, and items just become useful in unexpected ways, it's easy to get into a hoarding mindset and just save everything you find. Maybe this will be useful in 3 hours, you tell yourself, over and over, and you hoard every little twig, leaf, and rock that you come across. Knowing when things are useless leaves less in your inventory and lets your mind remember fewer things at any given time. Just like the map, it's helping you focus on the things that actually matter right now. This is great game design, and Capcom should get all the credit in the world for what they did here. But this is a horror game, so how did it do scaring the hell out of me? Well, I'll say it did a good job of making me feel on edge, but I don't think I was necessarily horrified. At least for the first few hours. I played as Leon first, and while the first few hours were a lot of fun, and I spent more time than I expected marveling at maps and whatnot, I didn't find them scary. The game drops you into the world wonderfully, and I felt like I was in a zombie-infested apocalypse. But it was more fun than scary. I enjoyed the gorgeous graphics that glued my eyes to the screen. I got a kick from shooting limbs and exploding heads from the game's excellent dismemberment system. I both cringed and giggled at some of the moments of extreme gore. But I was never scared. I was playing at night most of the time, which is usually a no-go for me with horror games, but this one was fine. But then something happened that changed everything. I don't want to totally spoil it, so I won't go into too much detail, and you've seen this character before. Again, this is a remake of a 20-year-old game, and it's been in all the other reviews, so I'm sure you know who this is. Let me just say that at some point in the game, a new villain is introduced that can best be described as unrelenting. Unlike the old games where doors were apparently magic and anything that happened in one room stayed there, the police station and other environments in this game are more alive and connected. Zombies that you choose not to kill, and trust me, it's better not to kill everything unless you absolutely have to, but zombies can absolutely move from room to room and appear where you don't expect them to. There are also a ton of windows to the outside, and zombies will bang on the glass and sometimes break through into the building. These blue rooms on the map that I was talking about earlier, they may not have anything in there to collect, but they definitely could have zombies who want to eat your brains. Back to this particular villain, he takes things to an extreme, and again, without saying too much, he essentially removes any semblance of comfort or safety that you might have at this point in the game. Just as you start to think to yourself, this is my police station, this character makes you feel more exposed than ever before. And that's great! I loved that this game was designed to build me up and up and up, only to tear me down in a moment. A good horror game scares you, but great ones crush you, and Resident Evil 2 crushed me. Since this is a remake, I should probably mention my history with the game, which is that I have none. I have never played Resident Evil 2, and I've only ever played Resident Evil Remake for GameCube, Resident Evil 4, and Resident Evil 7. I didn't love the remake of the first game, not because it was poorly made, but because the game felt archaic to me. The controls never jived with me, and the puzzles were more of a pain than anything I'd describe as fun. But Resident Evil 2 seems like a remake in name only. It's a very different beast from Resident Evil Remake for GameCube and PS3 and PS4 and every single system after that. From what I've heard, it sounds like the map is similar, but modified. The story is quite similar, and the puzzles are not hugely updated, but the rest of the game is totally new and feels much like a modern game in 2019. The puzzles are a bit off from most games you play these days, but they didn't feel old, they just felt different. I guess my only point here is that this doesn't feel like a remake of an old game. It feels like a completely relevant, completely new game. I think if Men in Black forgot like all of our memories and this was marketed as Resident Evil 8, I think all of us would say, yeah, that's exactly what Resident Evil 8 should be. This feels totally like a game made in the here and now with some different design decisions than a lot of the popular games going on at the moment, but it feels totally fresh.
If you see one of those things, uniform or not, you do not hesitate. You take it out, or you run. Got it?
Yes, sir.
I mentioned Resident Evil 4 and 7 were the only other Resident Evil games I played, and I really enjoyed both of those. Resident Evil 4 in particular is one of my favorite games ever, and I probably have beaten it 20 times or more over the years. That one was more of an action game with a silly zombie story, while 2017's RE7 was more straight horror. I feel like RE2 is a nearly perfect mix of those two games. It's got similar controls to RE4 and the over-the-shoulder camera, but it's a little more seriously scary, like RE7. Leon might be younger in this game than he was in Resident Evil 4, but he's not roundhouse-kicking zombies like he was in the GameCube classic.
It's up to us to take out Umbrella.
Before we go, let me talk about a few smaller points. First, this is good info to have, and you probably know it already, but in case you don't, Know that there are two campaigns in this game, and depending on who you talk to, maybe there's even four, or six. It's fuzzy. You choose to play as either Leon or Claire at the start of the game, and then you can play again after you beat the game, you can play again as the other player. The second playthrough takes you through the same game world, but the story, characters, and obstacles are swapped and shuffled around a little bit. It's certainly not required, and it's similar enough to the original playthrough that I think that you can absolutely play the first run with one character and consider that it, but you definitely get more value out of playing again. If you want more challenge, if you end the game and want to play more, you can boot up that other character and you get a modified experience. You get all the same RE2 amazingness that I've talked about already, but with some modifications, some differences that make it kind of a fresh experience. And depending on who you are, this may either be like, oh, this is more of the same, or this is a totally new experience and I love this. We gotta talk about the sound too, because the sound in this game is out of this world.
Can't stay here, it's not safe!
Go on ahead! I'll meet you at the station!
The music is delightfully creepy. I couldn't hum you a tune from it right now, but it set the tone for the game perfectly throughout. The directional sound and sound effects in general are also top-notch. The world sounds deliciously disgusting, and thanks to some great 3D sound work, it sounds like it's all around you. That's good because you can figure out where those creaks in the night are coming from, but it's also bad because you are totally encompassed by the horrible things around you. But hey, that's kind of the point. Also on the sound front, the voice acting is a bit all over the place. Most of the cast does pretty good. I didn't really like Leon's performance. Some of the dialogue is corny, so he wasn't really helped there. But as the main character, to have pretty flat delivery, that's a little disappointing. Crazy things are happening all around, and he just stays as cool as a cucumber, even though the words he's saying don't really imply that he's totally got it all together. I mentioned the inventory before, but I found this to be a pretty decent implementation. Most items take up one spot, and you grow your inventory space as the game moves along. There's actually cool moments where, like, you can upgrade your weapons as you go, and some upgrades will actually increase the size of the weapon from one spot to two spots, so you have to decide, do I want this to be a more powerful gun, do I want it to be a more accurate gun, or do I want it to be one spot so I can hold more things? It's a really cool give and take, and you have to decide which is more important to you. Do you want the space? Do you want the power? My best recommendation for the inventory is to examine every item that you come across. You never know what goodies you'll find inside or tucked around back of some seemingly innocuous items you pick up. Seriously, spin every item around. The gore deserves another mention as well. The game has some insane gore, and squeamish players will cringe every few minutes while playing the game. Several cutscenes have the worst of it, but even common actions like shooting zombies can lead to some high-fidelity bloody fireworks. Heads explode and split in half, limbs can be systematically removed, which is actually beneficial as it slows down zombies with fewer bullets than it takes to kill them, and blasting a basic zombie with a shotgun can literally split it in half. It's a gory mess, and there is no setting to tone any of this down. If you're playing a Resident Evil game, then you probably expect this, but it's something to know for those of you on the fence. Finally, there are some DLC add-ons for the game, and supposedly there's more DLC coming that I believe is going to be free. But the current DLC, which is paid, is all aesthetic. There are some costumes which I didn't buy, but I did pick up the original soundtrack, which goes for $2.99. It just swaps out the original PlayStation game score with a more in-your-face soundtrack, which was from the 1998 original. I would describe the current soundtrack as good. I mentioned that before, that the music sets the tone well, but it's kind of forgettable. The old Resident Evil 2 soundtrack, though, is much more in-your-face, and you will remember those tunes a little bit more. Since I have no nostalgia for the original game, I actually preferred the new music, since it fit a little bit more with the tone of this game, but it was totally worth it to have the classic Resident Evil voice happen at the game's start screen. Resident Evil 2 is a triumph on basically every level. It seems to be making old school fans happy, as well as newcomers welcome into this world. This game does not feel old at all, and it's a perfect marriage of old school game design and new school sensibilities. It's rare that a game gets such universal acclaim like Resident Evil 2 has been getting, and I think it deserves every great thing people are saying about it. If you don't want to be scared, then you can still get a lot of fun out of playing it with the lights on. It's really a masterclass in game design, and I think that gamers will really enjoy their time with it. If you want a scare, turn down the lights, put on headphones, crank up the difficulty. It's only February, so it's too soon to call it, but Resident Evil 2 will absolutely be in the conversation at the end of the year when I'm making my best of list. It's a seminal gaming experience and one that I will not soon forget.